We can start talking now.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. I'm digesting a gut full of Chipotle and peanut M&Ms. So in case you're wondering, yes, I am still interested in losing weight. This is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today by Howard Flood.
Paid in full with a burrito today.
That is true. Steak. Steak, the fat meat at Chipotle. What are the expensive ones? Steak.
Steak
and
is,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, the both beef varieties.
I'm not big on the barbacoa. The barbacoa is pretty disappointing in my opinion.
It used to be my favorite. The pork, that's the pulled pork, right? And then I got really conscientious about eating pigs.
Because our friend who does not eat pig, or...
Yes, our dunce friend Jerry, who is stupid about nearly everything in his life, one time dumbly said, "I don't eat pork because pigs are too smart." And out of every dumb thing that's ever come out of Jerry's dumb mouth...
That's resonated.
That stuck.
Yeah.
I watched Babe too much as a teen. I was like, you know what? Those pigs really are magical little beings. Like a cow... that one I feel kind of bad about. It's big and huggable, but it's also dumb as you've said multiple times.
I mean, but bacon's delicious, man. That's the one thing.
I've never been a big bacon guy. And the smell, like when people talk about the smell of bacon filled the house, I effing hate the smell of bacon. That burned fat crap. Ugh.
Yeah, it doesn't give me a half chub or anything like that, but I definitely do enjoy it. Like yesterday, I was at a restaurant. It was this happy hour event in D.C.
Uh-huh.
This one restaurant serves green eggs and ham, and it's just deviled eggs where they dye the deviled egg green, and then they stick a little piece of bacon on top. It's so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say ham that they salvaged from the Nina Pinta in Santa Maria.
I mean, it's not like the yolk was delicious or any different than a regular deviled egg, but it had bacon.
I mean, bacon and eggs, yeah, it's a classic. I might as well sit here and make the case against goddamn vanilla and hot fudge while I'm at it. I'm not going to change many minds, but I've come to feel guilty about eating pigs, so I shy away from that. Really, the only of the land beasts, the only one I kind of don't mind eating is chickens, because they're stupid as ass.
Cows are dumb. Are you kidding? You've never worked with cattle. I've worked with
cattle.
No,
I've never worked with cattle whatsoever.
If they made beef illegal tomorrow, I would lobby my congressperson to just take cows off the face of the earth. They're completely useless animals today.
I mean, they're more than useless. Yeah. Don't they eat all of our food supplies and like destroy the ozone layer with their farts and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. No, they really don't deserve to live for any other purpose than to be food.
I thought that was like an urban legend as a kid, and I learned that they really do damage, man.
They do significant damage. Not as much as humans, of course, but
yes.
they're one of the big problems.
Their ass is not an 18-wheeler, but... I guess we have enough of them. The show site's inpapasbasement.com. Go there for all of our episodes. I'm going to get back to writing again, finally. I've been so lazy about that. But when I do write, it gets posted up there. And let's see, go on the podcast app for any iDevice and I guess Stitcher if you have an Android device or an iDevice. Look up Papa's Basement, subscribe to us, give us a rating, and tell your friends. There, that's the intro crap, right? Oh, at Papa's Basement on Twitter, and we're also on Facebook. Obviously, and you are. What's your handle?
I still need
Howard?
To fix my handle.
Howard Flood. I don't even
Not
know
yet,
if I introduced
no.
you. Howard Flood across from me.
Yeah, I'm Howard Flood, and I'm going to work on my Twitter handle. You'll find me on Papa's Basement.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Time to do the Thanksgiving show. I know we're about a week late. It's currently December 3rd, unless we're playing this as an evergreen, in which case, use your imagination and so, whatever day you want it to be. We're just going to weirdly focus on Thanksgiving, having been a week ago, even though, again, it could be June 30th, 2016.
It just happens to be my favorite holiday, which is why I can talk about it any time of year.
I already did a Thanksgiving episode, actually. Howard was booked up on Monday, but over the weekend, I thought I was going to be the smart little squirrel who stored some show acorns ahead of time, and I went out with a couple friends this weekend to record an episode in advance. And it was even going to be clean. I was going to be set up completely for the Monday airing on the Fairfax Public Access of the show. It was to quote De Niro at the beginning, or no, this was Pesci at the beginning of Casino, and it should have been so sweet, but in the end, we effed it all up. So I do the show with these guys. I'm not going to reveal names because the show got deep-sixed due to content. But we did a Thanksgiving episode. We all talked about our Thanksgivings. And near the end, about 40 minutes in, one of the two guys before the show, during prep. I did not throw him under the bus on this. This is just something he volunteered. I was like, do you have any crazy stories from your life the last couple of years? And he rattles off some pretty basic stuff. And I'm just like, uh-huh. And about four items in, he's like, and I've learned that I have a predilection for MILF hookers and have been spending $800 a pop on them as of late.
Wow. Wow.
And like a cat hearing the can opener, I went, what? And I sprinted because I was like, now we have something. Now I only have to do 30 to 40 minutes of content because I'll be damned if I can't get a good 20 out of that.
Wait, now this is an aspiring comic, right?
This friend is an aspiring comic, yes.
All right.
He is not some page up on Capitol Hill.
Because that's pretty dang funny, yeah. That's
me. It's hilarious. I mean, look.
Like, I'm already hooked. I want
to
know.
It's ballsy to talk about hookers because, you know, it's still fairly illegal. It's
not in Toronto.
Yeah, and not in, you know, certain chunks of the country, I guess. And really, because of Craigslist, I doubt how frowned upon it truly is. But, I don't know. Girlfriends will probably take umbrage.
Yeah, I don't think you should talk about what you do on Craigslist necessarily all that openly. I mean, you can just speak in the abstract somewhat, turn it into a character that you play on radio. I think that's a fair way to handle it. So,
I mean, I'll tell you what I do on Craigslist. I post my business, I look for Skylanders, and then I jerk it to photos of chicks who have posted for the casual hookups. Never go through with it, but I love the photos. It's kind of like a Russian roulette thing. It's like, is this going to be a fat, really fat sister? Yes, it is. And then you just flip away. And occasionally you'll get the attractive sister or the Asian girl who's probably got 1,000 responses in 15 minutes. There's all kinds of fun. Usually it's just like fake posts. The point is, it's like a Russian roulette of pornography. And if I'm bored, I enjoy it. That's what I do with my Craigslist time.
Do you, like, fantasize about actually sending them an email? Is that part of your fantasy? Like, you hit the email address, and then it's...
Oh, yeah, and that's what gets me close.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just mash with, like, one hand while I'm mashing with the other. ASDF! 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 No, not really. Because years ago, I tried to hit up chicks here and there. And I'm like, what kind of sketchbox broad is going to do that? And then I learned that, like, some chick I picked up and banged off of MySpace indeed did that. I'm like, that's about what I expected.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't really care to go through with it. I'm a firm believer that 95% of it is spam. And if you really want something more effective, go on Reddit, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, just a Reddit for Reddit.
I just always suspect that Craigslist, it's photos that some, like, weird 50-year-old dude has just posted in order to get emails from people.
Not just that. The pixelate, like, I've posted photos all the time on Craigslist selling crap. It doesn't really affect the photo quality, yet every nude woman on this, 90% of them, it looks like it's a porn image from 96. And I'm not saying that because they all have, like, Jennifer Aniston's Rachel hair. Like, it's just pixely as hell. It's completely out of focus. And you're like, what, did you upload this from your 1 megapixel camera? Like, why does this look so bad? It's all piss poor. But, yeah, I don't know if Craigslist has hookers anymore, but you go to Backpages, I think, is one of the services, Pandora Peaks. I know a lot about hookers for a guy that doesn't really troll for them. But, he revealed that I don't want to say had a system, but I think, like, every month, every other month, that he kind of treated himself to women who ran the gamut in terms of cost. Like, he said one was, like, $800 for a 45-year-old. I'm like, was she Lisa Ann? You know, like, if she wasn't, I think you got rolled, buddy. Like, a 45-year-old chick who's putting herself out there because she's had kids, that's, I don't know, man, that's like getting, what is that furniture store around here that, like, if they scuff one of the legs, like, delivering the furniture, well, it then goes back and it's sold for half price?
To be fair, he's out in L.A., right? Is that the deal?
Yeah, he is.
So, like, to me, the story there is, in some respects, you're probably paying that much in order to help subsidize or help pay off the plastic surgery that went into making her less than 45.
Yeah, but it sounds like almost he wouldn't want that. Like, he wants the 45 to look 45.
Now, he wants the image of the 45. So there's certain things about it that need to be tucked in order for him to, like, have the fantasy fulfilled.
Oh, okay. But, like, so no gut, like, but big matronly bosoms.
Yes, and yet, like, not excessively sagging from, like, breastfeeding, you know, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't want it to look like a dog that just had a litter. Is there anything scarier than that? They look almost like a cupcake pan mold. It's just all hanging. Yeah, so he goes on. He's like, yeah, sometimes it's 200 or 300, which I believe that's, I want to say, like, for your average fairly good looking hooker, it's like 300 an hour or something like that. It ain't cheap. It's an Xbox. Like, this holiday season, you could be playing Destiny and watching Netflix on your Xbox One, or you could get an hour in call.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm cheap. I'm not moral. I'm just kind of germ obsessed, and I'm fairly cheap.
Right.
That's why I don't do it. London Keys, one of my all-time favorite porn stars. She was in New York not that long ago, or is going to be in New York. And she was like 1,000 an hour. And first of all, I said no because I have a girlfriend. But there we go. There we go. That's what I was waiting for. But I was like, on top of that, $1,000? Really? Like, that's entering the realm of where I don't care how good the experience is, you're going to go, was it $1,000 worth of experience? Like, you know what would make me happy for $1,000? If I put it down and someone gave me $2,000. That's money well spent.
I think, like, one of the problems that you and I struggled to have a connection with, like, many men in America, you know, like, the type A's who are working excessively in order to accumulate, like, ridiculous amounts of money doing, like, some boring financial job in New York City. For them, I think many of them, the motivation there is they equate money to, like, women.
Yeah.
And so I think when you have that belief system put into your head, then prostitution is really just a transactional cost that you had calculated for when you picked this this terrible career.
It's okay. This SE mortal.
Speaking of which, I'm about to go back into corporate legal work, so you're welcome, America.
I can't tell you how many times I've considered getting you to do legal stuff for me, and then I'm just like, don't want to pay for a lawyer, and I'm not sure I want Howard to do it. No, I'm kidding.
No, I think I would have a, honestly, like, I would have trouble representing you because I feel like you don't listen to me.
This is true.
Yeah. We go back too far, man. You're just like, whatever.
Yeah. Shut up. Do your Latin homework so I can copy over.
Yeah. I was thinking more like, don't you remember who was the head general in the Sloth Army? Shut up.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was a little thing we did in fifth grade.
Yeah.
I don't know where that term came from. Pat Norman. That was it.
Yeah.
He popularized the sloths. Even back then, I was like, sloths are a dumb little animal. Why is this big? And then 20-something years later, they're now internet sensations.
Yeah.
So.
Ahead of his time.
Yeah, he really was. A bit prescient there. All right. But, yeah, so the last 20 minutes... I just kind of let this guy go on and on about what it is to find, like, a 45-year-old, like, verify they're a MILF, and then have sex with him, especially on a limited budget. Because I'm not saying he's, like, a bad comedian or a good comedian. We didn't hear his act on air. He's just a guy in L.A. struggling to make ends meet, and yet he has a hooker budget. And, like, I love that. I found that fascinating. Like, I listened to a lot of Opie and Anthony before it became Opie and Jim or whatever,
right.
And, you know, I lost my ability to get serious in my new car, but back then, a big part of the show is Jim Norton just talking about, as he always says, he loves transsexual hookers, and he loves getting them at like $300, $400 a pop, and he'll talk about that on air, so that makes sense to me. Jim Norton makes, I would say, conservatively $250K a year, and I'm talking conservatively. I would think he's closer to like four-ish or something like that. So $400, let's do the math. That's what, 0.1% or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, if he did it, let's say once a week.
Yeah.
If he just set aside a budget once a week, so like 400 times 50 would be about 2,000, right?
20, I think.
I'm 20. Yeah, you're right.
So that's not, and you're the Asian one. That's not so bad for him. But like when a guy is doing it once a month, and he's making, like, let's say, $1,800, $2,000 a month.
That's
500 is going to a whore post-tax.
You could live in a much nicer apartment with that cash.
I found it interesting. What can I say? Like, and I think that would have been a captivating story for a lot of people. Like, out of all the stories he wanted to present, he told one about, like, you know, some weird shootout at his apartment nearby. I'm like, yeah, we've all seen True Romance. Get to the hookers.
Yeah.
I guess that's also part of True Romance. That movie had it all. But I just loved that story. So we finish it up, and I'm like, hey, I kind of zoned out for the last 20 minutes, but he was telling a great story. It doesn't matter. It's going to make for this captivating episode, right? And he turns around. He's like, as soon as it ends, he's like, I realized, please don't put that out. I realized I shouldn't have said those things. And I'm, at first, like you said, I'm like, you're a comedian, right? Like, no one's going to frown upon this. They expect weird and horrible things out of their comedy.
I guess he's just not fully sold on the career, man. You got to go hard to go home. Like, that's you're, such a money story.
You're right. I should have gotten in his face. Just be like, how much do you want to make people laugh? Because you just did.
Yeah, I know.
And my other friend who's on the show, I'm not going to mention any names again, like I said. My other friend just had been in radio for a while, and this was his first recording in probably 2 years. And he just felt he was rusty, but he's actually very good behind the mic.
Yeah.
So I was a little, wasn't happy when he chimed in. He's like, yeah, I didn't think I did my best. Like, you should deep six that.
Ugh, that's just horrible to like have put all that time in,
yeah,
only to have your guests say like, I don't want you to air that. That's infuriating.
And it let anyone who thinks I'm a just king asshole over here, that episode didn't go out. And so I was short an episode this week. We're recording this one, I think, Wednesday afternoon as opposed to Monday. For once, I was like, oh, I'm going to have a football show and two papas like people are used to out. And no, I don't. I'm back down to one papas, one football show that we're going to record in a bit. And that's it. And I felt like king ass. Cause not that it was bad spending time with these guys. I went to one house. You know, one of them owns a house. I spent my time there. We drank in his basement, had some pizza. It wasn't a bad time. But I felt we created something nice.
I don't know. You still got to do the setup and all that noise. And it seems irritating to me that they just want you to deep six the whole thing because the time that you put in for a product that you
especially
put out there on a professional basis, I feel.
Chopped out the last 20 hooker minutes.
Yeah.
That's it.
I got beef with that. And don't get me wrong, like when I first started coming on this show, I would walk away just feeling like dirt. Like, I can't believe we just talked about that. It's one of the reasons I had to pick a pseudonym because it was one of the ways to get more comfortable.
Oh, are you kidding? Like, I regret wholeheartedly that I introduce every episode with my name, that it's called Papa's Baseball. Like, that's asinine. That I should have just gone with Jack Reacher and like sounded cool and gotten away with murder and said whatever I wanted on air.
But I mean, in this case, this isn't just somebody coming on the show that has no interest in becoming like popular or famous. This is someone who actually is trying to get into the business using whatever name they've already selected for themselves in Hollywood.
Yeah, this isn't like little Fanny Stevenson who has a candle shop down the way and she talks about banging herself with the candle.
Yeah.
Like a plot line out of Debbie Does Dallas. Or Mr. Hardwick and his wife who had sex with their candles. I remember.
Or even just like a true amateur. You occasionally have people come in who have like no radio experience or just no ambitions for, or they don't have any experience trying to get into Hollywood or like media. This show might be their first like sorry attempt at it.
Oh, they're misguided, sad attempt. Yeah.
Those are the people where like they could come in and be like, that felt wrong. I'm so sorry. Could you please delete that? That's a situation where you kind of expect somebody to maybe not prepare themselves for the level of what we sometimes talk about on the show.
But look, I love to, I'm very much like Satan at heart, I feel. I love to cajole. I love to manipulate. I love to get, but I need consent. Like, I want you to do something horrible, but at the end of the day, it has to be out of your own free will. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't come in here and hold someone down and scream no means yes at them over and over. Like, that I don't like. I'm not a brute force guy. Like, it's funny to me, someone who 20 minutes ago was just talking about, I don't know, a PTA meeting or something, and then they're behind a mic and they're bitching that their wife's not giving them enough blowjobs. Like, right. That to me is funny. And then, like you said, the mic goes off. He's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? Like, that's funny. But to have him tell me that in confidence, and then we go on air, and I'm like, so your wife isn't sucking it enough, hey, pal? Yeah. And he's like, why did you say that? And then run screaming like a little girl from the mic. I wouldn't enjoy that. It's funny to get people to talk about these things willingly. So that's the only thing that made me sad. That, and we have to rehash like an entire Thanksgiving episode now.
Which, all right.
You know, we're totally prepared to do. And trust me, I don't mind going through it again.
All right, this better be good. You didn't even tell me about your Thanksgiving before now, so.
I mean, there was very little to report. That's the thing. Like, right. That's why I was happy we had the hooker story. It was a very right. mild Thanksgiving. For me, my bro's girlfriend is a waitress at the M&S Grill, which is like related to McCormick and Schmick's. I think it's, I don't know, she, I think, has told him a lot of great things about it, which is fine. You know, she's not working in a crap hole.
Yeah.
She's not at a TGI Fridays waitress. She's a M&S Grill waitress. But yeah. I think he just parrots what she says over and over. So, I mean, every time it comes up that she's at the M&S Grill, he's like, yeah, and people think because it's called the M&S Grill, it's lesser than McCormick and Schmick's. But really, McCormick and Schmick's is the crappy blight of the two.
Wow.
You know, the M&S Grill is the flagship of the fleet. I'm like, okay, you know, it's like you bought the Honda EX or the LX, and every time we talk about your car now, you're like, yeah, the LX has the sunroof, and it has the nicer wheels. It's, shut up. I get it. You got a car.
Yeah.
Like, your girlfriend, she's working at a restaurant. Okay. So we go. He wants to spend the holiday with her, which is fine.
Right.
I mean, she's not working like a 16-hour shift, so he could have just come home afterward. We could have had a meal with the two of them and myself, my mom, and that would have been it. But instead, my mom read that as like, hey, why don't we shake things up for Thanksgiving and we're going to go out and have our main meal at M&S Grill. I don't know about you, man. I just shut up. I nodded. I didn't really care. Whatever I ate that day was coming out brown in 24 hours. Who cares? When you get right down to it. But I wasn't particularly cool with losing just the regular vibe of Thanksgiving.
I've done Thanksgiving buffet style dinner before out once. So was it at least turkey?
I didn't get turkey.
Okay.
The
option was there though, right?
The option at the M&S Grill was, and I'm saying this nicely because they did a good job of it. And what I'm comparing it to, I would never disparage either. Do you remember what Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners, like usually they would, I mean, obviously for Thanksgiving, they let you out that Wednesday. And then a month later for Christmas, whatever day of the week you were getting let out that day in the lunchroom on a special styrofoam container that had all the different compartments.
Oh, you're taking me back, man. Yeah.
You had that weird striated sliced turkey that looked
on
like
on top of a scoop, an ice cream scoop of stuffing.
An ice cream scoop, exactly. A wet ice cream of stuffing. It looked like that same scoop was used to fling the taters as well.
I think that's why I like cranberry sauce so much, because that was the one thing that was like just like Thanksgiving. Like, literally, they'd gotten the same ocean spray can that we used at home.
Yeah.
So they went fancy on us in the public school system.
If you want to know, this is the fattest thing I've ever done, and I did it back when I was a fat little kid. Like, this is where I should have known I had no pride. Like, I have friends now that will eat every bit of a pizza but the crust. And they don't even brush their teeth well. Like, this is a friend who's jacked up teeth. And I'm like, hey, you going to finish that? And he just passes me the crust. Like, it's no thing. Back when I was a kid, I remember a ton of kids who would pick up and just eat the little turkey on top of the stuffing and leave the stuffings. And I remember one year, I said, are you going to eat that? Do you know how many stuffing balls I took? And I swear to Christ, I remember this number to this day.
I would guess 8.
5.
Okay.
5 kids on top of my own stuffing ball.
Oh, so 6.
Yeah,
all right.
6, I guess. I ate their stuffing ball as well. Because the kids hated it. I felt I had the sophisticated palate.
You did. I thought it was delicious. If you would ask me, I would have said no.
It was amazing. I loved that crap. So they served a very high-end version of that. I mean,
It's a tray. Or I shouldn't say it's a tray, but it's a plate of the same items, right?
Same ice cream scoop. Same consistency to the stuffing.
I mean, down.
This was a dude probably in our age group who was like, I am going to classy that up. This is going to be my legacy.
He's just snickering as he's serving like the same thing he got in Fairfax County Public Schools when he
was
a kid.
Yeah, like he should have gone full retard in the Saint Tropic Thunder and just put it on the styrofoam. That would have made me happy. Instead, Here's my real problem with the day. My mom threw that out because she didn't want to be away from her little baby boy, younger Will.
Right.
I understand that. However, she's still weird and anal and compulsive, so she cooked an entire Thanksgiving meal anyhow. Just slept in, didn't wake up at like 4 a.m. to start the turkey. Just slept in, but did everything. Cooked a turkey, cooked stuffing. However, since that was our meal, she cooks this whole spread and then just like kind of leaves it on the countertop. Like, it was just, she's like, I cooked it to be leftovers. That was the term used. I just cooked up some leftovers. Things are, you don't cook a leftover. It doesn't inherently become a leftover because you called it that. You just cooked a full meal. And then we kind of like neglected it. I felt bad. Like the turkey was just picked at, but more or less yesterday we heaved a whole turkey.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And like the stuffing was kind of just half picked at.
You didn't freeze it. You didn't like just cut it up and then like you can have sandwiches for a month, man.
Nah, because I'm going to. Oh, the turkey, you mean?
Yeah.
Nah, we just chucked it. She just left it in the fridge. We didn't have any freezer room because my mom's a crazy hoarder. But so that was weird. And then like we don't. It's not like I didn't get to relax, but like my brother's girlfriend's coming to the table every 5 seconds to shoot the S with us because her boyfriend's there, and like her coworkers are coming over and they're all like, oh, so this is Will that we've heard so much about. And it's like, I didn't even get to just sit there and eat my meal, you know? It's like, oh, who are you? I'm like, well, the guy who was eating 2 seconds ago.
Will's now girlfriend is pretty extroverted, isn't she?
I mean, to some extent, yeah, she has to be. She's a waitress.
All those folks who came up and met Will, it's like, hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Will.
Good to meet you too.
Yeah. Will's a little more outgoing, like when there's some sort of icebreaker like that. But yeah, it wasn't okay. Like he sat there and held court.
Right.
And just everyone's coming up like, how do you like the meal? It's like uninterrupted. That's how I like my meal. Yeah. And I didn't even order that because I had all that junk waiting for me. I actually just ordered a plate of fried shrimp like a peasant.
Wow.
And it was a great plate of fried shrimp. You know when that's an appropriate meal? Any day but Thanksgiving. That's how I felt about it.
Do they have the same selection of sauces that you like at Long John Silver's?
I mean, as long as you give me a lot of cocktail sauce, all
right.
That's all I really need. Just I don't know if they had the variety. Yeah, it wasn't like a Roy Rogers fixin' bar.
All right.
That'd be great if they just wheeled around a little pump. Oh, little, yeah. Like five pumps. Here's your horseradish. And, God bless. God bless Roy Rogers. But, yeah, So I'm not going to bitch about the price. It was kind of steep. Like I thought she would be able to work some magic, but that apparently went out the window. And then it became like, God, she's Will's girlfriend. I have to like tip her a lot, don't I?
Oh, so, she was technically your server?
Yeah, she was our waitress, okay. Man. Right. Like we sat in her section. She waited on us. And I think like I ended up tipping her like a 20 or 15 or so. Like I tipped a hearty amount. It was like a 30, 35% tip.
Okay.
Because, again, I was like, what are you tipping your girlfriend? That was weird, too. I guess, you know, it's more awkward than me tipping her, him having to tip her, even though she lives with him.
Well, I mean, I guess in that situation, he has to tip more than you, right?
We tipped the same amount.
Okay, at least the same.
Yeah,
It would look really bad if he tipped less than you, I would say.
Oh, yeah, and, like, I wasn't going to doom him to pay for the whole thing. We got the bill. He's like, you want to split? I'm like, okay. Like I kind of thought a lot of it would be gratis or at least half or he'd cover. I don't know. But yeah, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of half-assed. And I know we're going to do the football show, but there's a slate of 3 games that on paper looked really good. It was like, Detroit hosted Chicago at 12:30.
Don't talk about football here, man.
All right. Then I'll summarize as thus. What looked like 3 great games turned out to be 3 duds.
Yeah.
With Detroit, the one that looked crappiest, being the best, and that was the one I missed going out to eat.
Well, dude, it's still Detroit, so don't watch that. I still say don't watch the Detroit game.
I mean, all the games were bad.
The other two were just blowouts, yeah.
Yeah. So. I have actually, the past week, starting with Thanksgiving, I started watching Banshee on Cinemax On Demand.
Interesting. I do not have Skinemax currently, so.
It's a show no one knows about. Like, okay. Cinemax exists only to make Showtime look like HBO. that's it. Cinemax, it's still, I think what's great is it still tries to adhere to its pornographic roots and softcore. Like, we grew up as kids with Skinemax.
Yeah.
Like, you'd sneak out at 1 a.m., and if you had a parent good enough to get the channel, you had something to look at.
Because our local cable company, I think they all still do this, where you get the package of all premium channels. And I always loved those promos because it meant I had Skinemax.
Yeah, for like you had a month's worth of hard jacking to do.
Yeah, it's just like it's 1 a.m. I think it's quiet.
Yeah, that's like that's a month you show up at your school the next day just like dead tired.
So Banshee is the new flavor of the Skinemax month.
Yeah, I don't know if. Like, Banshee is their only show or big show. Like, every cable channel followed HBO's lead. You know, yeah. HBO puts out Sopranos and it puts out Sex and the City. And these became huge reasons that people subscribe to the channel, and they became big movers on DVD after the fact. So everyone, I think, fairly wisely followed their lead. They're like, yeah, you can get movies anywhere. If people want to watch a movie, they're not going to sit around, unless they're a cheap piece of crap like me, who's waited a year and a half to get Anchorman on Netflix. They're not going to sit around and wait. They're just going to get it for $5 as a digital rental. So what can we provide them that no one else can? And the answer is original programming.
Right.
So it goes down the line. Showtime started years after HBO, and it made Homeland, and it's got The Affair right now. And then even Cinemax was like, we're going to get in on this. We're making a show called Banshee, and it's about like an ex-con who poses as a sheriff named Lucas Hood. Get it? So subtle. Hood, con, ha, ha. God. And it's basically a porn with a plot. Like, they said, look, we're making a show, but we're a Cinemax show, goddammit. And I mean, there is effing every episode, like clockwork.
Multiple times?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, like, not every episode is multiples, but some do. Okay. Some, it's like two or three different pairs of jugs.
All right.
And it's a real treat. I mean, like, all the co-stars are forced to get naked, all the female ones.
Why do you say forced? Like, they were signed to the show because they were willing to get naked.
Absolutely. But their contract... Like, I forget who is the British broad that plays the Queen of Dragons on Game of Thrones.
Okay.
But I heard that she threw down the gauntlet and was like, people don't need to see my boobs anymore. That isn't happening again.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not exactly happy with that because you know, that's the same thing like when girls would sext you. And they're like, how many times have I shown you this? It's like, no, not enough, apparently. Like, I need more. Like, your stuff doesn't get boring to us. As long as it's not in our face 24/7, we enjoy seeing it. Why do you want to question that? Like, that's your gravy train with biscuit wheels right there, honey. Why are you getting mad that I want to see it again? That's what pisses me off about it. So I think every co-star, signed to this show, it was like, you're going to pull them out early. You're going to pull them out often. And then you're going to do it again. And if we're bored, you're going to do it during the opening credits. Because this is Banshee and Cinemax, goddammit.
I mean, in defense of the character from Game of Thrones, you know, it's different to be on Skinamax, where you know you're going to be on Skinamax. Whereas, like, on an HBO show, yes, there's plenty of them that, you know, they're popular for violence, profanity, and nudity. These are the three things you can do on a premium channel that don't necessarily appear as much on other cable channels or broadcast. But with Game of Thrones... I wonder if she just read the books and was like, I don't see the part where my character shows her boobs to the narrator, so I'm going to say no more. No boss.
She should have put it together that, like, in the book, her character's 13, and they made damn well sure they got some legal scooch to play her in the movie. It's like, why are you making sure I'm 18? No reason.
Oh, man.
I had to check if I waxed. I don't remember her name, and I'm forgetting the name of the girl who plays Queen Cersei, the woman. And she played the queen in 300 as well. Mm. And in 300, she definitely pulls out her tits.
Yeah.
And by Game of Thrones, she's like, no, no, none of that. Have a career now. F you. I love someone who pulled them out at the beginning and got a name for herself partially on pulling them out. And then, like, years later, it's like, everyone misses him. You know, it's like it's like Cher doing her 18th farewell tour. It's like, yeah, let's bring him back again.
I do like that the flip occurred for your girl on True Detective, who was on the Percy Jackson movies before she showed her tits on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was, like, in the super innocent thing. And yeah, she's like, getting rimmed by Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Roy Munson's got his tongue in her ass on True Detective. That was glorious. It's weird you mentioned that. The other really attractive woman who gets naked in that, the chick who sells like a cell phone to Woody and then starts sexting him, she plays, if you want to know the plot of this movie or this show, she plays an Amish chick kicked out of her community for being too much of a whore, and she is naked every second episode. It's great. If you liked that girl... It's not Alexandra Daddario, the one that just had the best bosoms you'll ever see. But it was the other one, the nice fat ass. And man, that chick, she is naked more than she's clothed. It's great. But yeah, the whole thing is they're in an Amish community, and so they're dealing with the Amish and Native Americans as well. There's one evil Amish guy.
This is so strange.
Yeah. How,
these communities don't always end up in the same localities in America.
They do in Banshee, Pennsylvania, sir. And the Amish guy, Proctor, he's like the dude from Roadhouse who just like runs this crappy little town and himself is rich.
I'm already tired of you describing the plot. This really just
sounds
great.
He like has this this black chick, this black hooker that he bangs all the time, but he puts a little Amish bonnet on her. It's great, man. And how often do you see black jugs in a show?
In the spirit of Thanksgiving, the plot sounds a lot like a dried turkey that just needs a lot of gravy.
It's true.
So just keep talking about the naked women.
Well, the last thing, I'll leave it off with this. Whoever casts that show hates breasts. There is no one on the show who is bigger than like a B cup.
Interesting.
And the main woman who gets naked, some Russian chick, or at least has a Russian name,
mm-hmm.
she's like an A, man.
Okay.
A lithe body, don't get me wrong. She's perfectly attractive, but ugh, nothing.
So do they have just a lot of raw sex sounds, or do they do a lot of music that just blocks out the sounds of sex?
Yeah, it's like 80s sex. Like in a movie like Terminator, Kyle Reese holding Sarah's hand type stuff with the Brad Fidel piano in the background.
Okay, so it's predominantly that, not the... Not the rawness of Steve Buscemi getting railed in the ass by Tony's sister.
No. Steve Buscemi was never ran. That was Joey Pants.
Okay, sorry.
Joey Pants. He had a dill in his ass. Go out and get mommy's money, you little whore. Yeah. Sounds like Eddie Murphy's Mr. T getting railed in the ass. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's worth checking out if you got time. If you've got a Cinemax subscription and you're like, I miss what movies were in the 80s where you just randomly see tits all the time if it was R-rated.
So I'm sorry, but for those who aren't interested in the show and just want to check out like an episode with some good nudity, episode?
The pilot.
Pilot
does not disappoint.
Brings it home. All right.
Oh, yeah. The pilot was like the pilot for Orange is the New Black, where it's like, everyone who's going to pull him out does.
Okay.
Even Red pulls him out for this one. Thank God she didn't. How about you? What was your Thanksgiving?
For me, I mean, it's just back with the fam, man. I mean...
That's true. You are a big boy who doesn't live with his family at all times.
So, yeah, we had about 18 people this year, I think. It was
what?
The biggest one, yeah. Family keeps getting bigger every year, man, so...
Good Lord. Who was part of this?
My mom and stepfather hosted, and then my girlfriend's brother and dad came up from Florida,
okay.
And then one of my sisters has a family of four, the other now has a family of three, and so...
Man.
We've also had some Korean guests from the old country, where my mom has a friend from nursing school that lives in the U.S., and I was gonna get back to the time that... The more interesting story is not my Thanksgiving this year, but the time I went out and had to eat at a restaurant for Thanksgiving. We used to alternate with this Korean family as far as who hosted Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And my mom really, because in Korean culture, you can just, what's the proper way to describe it? I won't say it's passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
It's more just aggressive. Like, you badger your friends into doing things, you guilt them.
Okay.
So, like, my mom would just be like, hey, we live in America. You're coming over for Thanksgiving. Oh, by the way, next year, you're hosting and you're cooking American food. Now, my mom's friend used to oblige us with, like, a Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving every other year.
Yeah.
But they're in their 60s now. And you know what? This woman has been tired of doing this since around the time her kids graduated high school. Once the kids were in college, she was like, I'm tired of doing this. And so, like, I came back one year during college, and we ended up eating Thanksgiving at a restaurant. And
it
was...
just treated.
Yeah. Because they were just like, we don't want to cook. And it...
Was it at least, like, a Thanksgiving special, or...
It was, yeah, I mean, they just basically brought out a plate. It sounds, it was far more removed from the, like, public elementary school experience of Thanksgiving. It was an actual kind of plate that I was like, I was satisfied with that they presented us. The food wasn't bad, but, you know, there was something dirty about, like, receiving food from someone who clearly didn't want to be there. You know, like, whoever was working at this restaurant, I just felt awful. Because I was like, they don't want to be here with me. I don't really want to be here with them. Like, and... just talking to my mom and my stepfather about it. Yeah, they were just like, this sucks because, like, we feel bad and we easily could have done this. So that was the year that my family started talking about maybe we have to take Thanksgiving away from the other family because when they host, they don't want.
Yeah, it sounds like they weren't going to host anymore anyhow.
Well, they did one more. Actually, I'm sorry, two more. And this is the funny
you
thing.
Mean they took you out for more meals?
No, so my mom, I think, complained about, like, why are you making these people who like Thanksgiving work on Thanksgiving? So the other Korean lady had the genius idea, and this is why we had to do it two more times before we finally gave up.
Yeah.
She was like, okay, you don't want Americans to serve you American Thanksgiving? I'm getting Koreans who don't give a crap about this stupid holiday to cook us Korean food.
Oh,
and so
wow.
We had Korean catering for the, like, two of the next 4 years.
Oh,
so
man.
We went to this woman's home, and she just had these caterers who were clearly, like, barely to the United States.
Uh-huh.
And they're just like, whatever, four-day weekend, great time to make money when I'm not doing some other job. So I'm just going to do catering for Koreans who have these pushy friends that insist on doing something on Thanksgiving Day.
Let's open this mud-covered jar of rotting cabbage.
Hey, it's delicious.
I know how kimchi's made.
I honestly, if every other year Thanksgiving was served with Korean food, I would prefer. I'm not a big turkey fan. I'm just not.
Dude, you'll get no argument from me. There's a reason, like, a whole turkey carcass got shucked. I finally, this is going to sound sad, I'm a 33-year-old man, I finally figured if you want to be, like, slightly, and I mean slightly healthier about turkey, because there's no way, at least the way my mom cooks it, you can eat it raw.
Yeah.
It's just cardboard ass. But you don't have to slather it in gravy. You can also take the cranberry stuff
yeah.
and dump that on it. And it sounds weird in theory. And, like, if I'm done eating it and I look at the plate and I see strands of turkey meat in cranberry, like, I want to vomit. But as it goes down, it's pretty good. So that was my breakthrough this year. You can use cranberry sauce or whatever the hell in lieu of gravy on anything. I ate it on top of stuffing.
Go back to, so you don't like the turkey your mom puts out?
She makes a horrible bird. My mom's, you know my mom, she's a worry wart.
Yeah.
And just anxiety ridden. She in no way cares. I mean, she cares, lip service cares for flavor, but her entire mission is to just make sure the turkey hits, like, I don't know, 590 degrees or whatever.
Does she cook it upside down for the first hour?
No. She is.
That's the number one mistake.
It's the number one same mistake. Tired recipe, the same tired results. One year, I kind of managed to salvage it because every hour I just smashed an entire stick of butter on the thing and shoved it back in, and that protected it enough. It's crap. You have to lubricate it on the back end. That sounded dirty. Didn't intend to. You have to do something to actually get it down your pipes.
All right. No, I would have thrown that turkey out too.
Never yeah, mind. It's nothing I'm going to fight for.
Yeah.
And the last couple of years, we even got a little fancy and started making oyster stuffing.
Mm.
And, like, this is the second year we did it. And, like, some cheap-ass oyster brand that we used had just massive chunk after chunk of oyster shell.
Yeah.
In the thing, like, if you've ever bitten into an eggshell while eating an omelet, multiply that by 10. Like, I felt I cracked a molar. And, like, as soon as that happened, you're just like, I don't want to eat this.
Did your mom go to the Korean grocery store? Like, what's going on?
I don't know where she went. Yeah, man. Barnacle Bill's spoiled food emporium. I don't know what the hell she got these things from, but they're like $20. Like, an oyster, just one of these little boogers in a jar. It's usually like a jar of 10 for 10 or 11 bones.
By the way, you live near one of the best Korean grocery stores in the area.
What?
We've eaten there before. The Lotte World?
You say the Fairfax County Pound.
You're terrible. But come on, man. You remember going there.
Oh, yeah. Lotte. I don't know of Lotte being, like, specifically Korean, but yeah, it's a very high-end, just Asian and Indian even.
Well, Koreans own the joint. And
oh,
then
really?
They opened it up to other cultures when they realized they needed a larger family.
We make more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But yeah, man, like, do you eat back there at all? Do you go to the restaurant inside?
Yeah, on occasion. Since I've cut down on eating beef, that was kind of a safe go-to.
Okay.
Because no culture makes beef in a weird way. You can have beef anything. The only weird beef dish I ever heard was, like, Andrew Zimmern was in, like, Somalia or wherever they shot down the Black Hawk.
Yeah.
And there was, like, this raw beef dish where they mixed it with a spice, and it looked like just this blood red hamburger meat because it was uncooked beef, and he eats it. And he's like, this tastes like eating a cigarette. I'm like, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. And not only does it taste like asshole, it's just rife with E. coli because it's like a cow. that got shredded and just thrown on a plate.
Two.
But, yeah, so since I cut beef out, like, cultures can kind of get a little weird with chicken, just in that I'm more of a... When it comes to a weirder dish, which all non-European things are, they're just weird, in quotes, like, I prefer kind of a white meat dish just to get my feet wet, and I can go with dark meat later. Asian dishes, they tend to prefer dark meat, but you can get, like, weird chunks of bone and gristle and stuff just thrown in, so I'm not down with that.
Wah.
Yeah, pretty much. And then seafood's always a gamble at an Asian joint, because it's like, am I going to get just an entire length of squid tentacle? Yeah. Am I going to get shrimp that has the feet and eyes still on it?
Yeah.
So I've slowed down on that, but yeah, I know it's good food. I mean, I'll say this much, man. I went to a Korean joint last weekend, actually, and ate a dish that I wanted to vomit. It was like a bowl, first of all, like the size of a punch bowl for a party. I'm not kidding.
Right.
Like, this could have fed 2 to 3 people.
It was like super salty too, right?
A little bit. Yeah. Let's just say savory. And it was egg drop soup with these thick noodles and then just like huge chunks of seafood stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like that Simpsons where they're at, I forget which, probably the Frying Dutchman. It's like a seafood restaurant, and Bart's like, I'll take the squid platter. Extra tentacles, please. That's what this looked like. Like,
right.
It was just big, gummy, but like they had done some kind of, julienning. Is that the technique, maybe? Where like they diced the arm of the squid tentacle. So it wasn't just a raw tentacle, like it shot off into these little, it looked like SimCity towers. You know, like it was just perfectly cubed, but it was still on the tentacle. Like, that's a weird texture against the tongue. That was not pleasant. So there's some of that, and then just like, you know, mussels still in the shell.
Is that udon?
It wasn't udon, it was something really funky. Like, I wanted to be brave and gamble, because it was like they had a couple, you know, just general so's type things on the menu as a concession to where they were.
Yeah.
But I went off the menu where I had to order via picture.
Yeah.
And that was fun. And I'm like, I'll take picture 18.
Yeah, no, that seafood probably came out of a assorted seafood, like, frozen bag.
Like a mixed berry bag for smoothies, except it's like, here's some tentacles, some shrimp tails.
Yeah.
Here's a crab's arm.
Maybe some clam or oyster, depending on what we found that week.
That is disgusting.
So you got to be careful with that. I think I know what you're talking about. But yeah, that's not a high-class meal.
No, it certainly seemed
that seafood leftover, I believe, is the translation from...
Pretty much. That was the Korean equivalent of just dumping gravy in a bowl and throwing Thanksgiving leftovers in it. Here's your soup, sir. All right, we got two stories we can punch out with, because we got... I don't know, 12 minutes left in the episode, something like that.
Cool.
Creed singer, or former singer, it could be one of those things where, like, he left 10 years ago and no one knows, where you're like, oh, the skinny guy, he no longer fronts the Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. When I see them at the county fair next year, I'll be sure to keep that in mind. Creed singer, or ex-singer, Scott Stapp released a crazy video on TMZ, where he goes on about being broke as the result of attacks from his enemies. His enemy sounds like cocaine and hookers.
Yeah.
That's what I would assume. It's funny. He does this thing with his tongue throughout it that you could turn the video 2.5 minutes into a drinking game that would get you just obliterated. You would die of alcohol poisoning after 2.5 minute video. I think that one's funny. And we can also talk about Shia LaBeouf, however you pronounce his name, LaBeef, LaBeouf?
LaBeouf, whatever.
LaBeouf.
LaBeouf.
Let's go French. LaBeouf. He claims he was raped while he was performing performance art. So what are you feeling, sir?
I hate Creed so much, man. Like, when I go to karaoke and I hear somebody singing
Creed,
I want to physically castrate them. None of this chemical castration shit. I just want to rip the balls off their body.
You are a dirty man this episode. whatever. Hold on. Let me write down that time. 50.0-ish.
I can't say that.
The S-bomb?
What did I say?
He said none of that chemical castration S. Oh, I want to cut his balls off.
All right. My B.
Yeah, censor that one.
So, yeah, let's talk about Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, Shia LaBeouf. All right, Shia LaBeouf. I was raped. You read that and you're like, one, I'm intrigued because he's a man. Two, he's famous. I'll read any rape story, but a famous guy?
Yeah.
Sure. Could be a knee slapper.
I saw that episode of Picket Fences.
I don't even know what you're referencing.
No, there was an episode of Picket Fence where they dealt with, like, can a woman rape a man?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
And it was, the woman was the chick on Seinfeld who wore a bra as an external garment.
Suzanne Mischke?
And then the dude was Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You have just described the best hour of television ever made.
Yeah. And then Fivish Finkel as the defense attorney. Always.
You're just making it better.
He was the number one reason to watch that show.
Hold on. Was it Sue Ellen Mischke? Give me 1 second. Sue Ellen Mischke. That's it. Why? Now I Googled it, and now there's just pictures of her with the bra. And now you've lost your host for the rest of the episode, sir. I am just going to look at Sue Ellen Mischke's cans hanging out of it.
But
top.
Yeah, the idea that a woman could rape a man has been discussed for many decades now. It is now part of the popular culture, I feel.
Well, what was that Michael Douglas, Demi Moore film? Is that Disclosure?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Wasn't that the whole thing? Yeah. He's like, I got raped by her. Meh. So, yeah, it's an interesting concept, and I wanted to read. I'm like, this is fascinating. If he comes out and he's like, a dude raped me, I'm like, damn, that's hardcore. That's some prison stuff right there. Yeah. That's Training Day. Hey, cop, you ever had your ish pushed in? And so I start reading, and I don't know if an article has ever disgusted me more, but not in the way I was expecting. So let's go. Shia LaBeouf's arrest, blah, 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 blah. Interview with Dazed and Confused magazine. He says a woman raped him during his hashtag I am sorry, in all caps, performance art installation in L.A. earlier this year. I don't know. None of us are familiar with this because, first of all, unless Shia LaBeouf is screaming at a robot that turns into a Tonka truck, no one cares what this man does. I mean, he had a brief window. I think he was, in Lars von Trier's, I was going to say Necromaniac. I was like, that's a movie. Nymphomaniac. I think he probably saw his dong or something like that. I haven't watched that one yet.
That sounds more of an obscure art film as compared to, like, you know, the blockbusters he was in.
Yeah,
or at least attempted blockbusters.
He was in that fourth indie. He played Indie's Bastard.
He was in Eagle Eye. They put a lot of money into that movie.
Oh, he had a big career for, like, 2 years. He was kind of a total A-list thing. And then now he's doing I Am Sorry hashtag. So the installation, if I recall... I think he sat there with, like, a bag on his head, like a Cleveland Browns fan.
Yeah.
And just people would come in, he sat there silently, wouldn't react, and people would just confess crap to him. That was the concept, at least.
Oh, interesting.
They'd walk in and say, I am sorry. I mean, and he just has to sit there like one of those palace guards with the big black hat on.
Yeah.
And not react. So, with that said, Shia LaBeouf says, one woman came in with her boyfriend who was outside the door when this happened. She whipped my legs for 10 minutes, then stripped my clothing and proceeded to rape me. Just let that kick around your head. There were hundreds of people in line when she walked out disheveled with smudged lipstick. It was no good, not for me, but for her man as well. On top of that, my girl, actress Mia Goth, was in line to see me because it was Valentine's Day. And I was living in the gallery for the duration of the event. We were separated for 5 days, no communication. So it really hurt her as well, as I guess the news of it traveled through the line when she came in and asked for an explanation, and I couldn't speak. Not wouldn't. This is already where I begin my editorialize. Wouldn't speak. No, couldn't speak. He couldn't because it was part of the art. He didn't have his tongue cut out by the Apaches. No, it would have violated the rules of hashtag I am sorry.
He really gets into character, man.
So he's
a method guy.
We both sat with this unexplained trauma silently. It was painful. So I'm going to put out my theory right here. One, if at any time he really didn't want this to happen. Here, okay. In fact, epiphany just hit. You goddamn better be sure if a dude bent him over and threatened to F him in the A. Oh, character broken. Toot sweet, buddy. You would have heard, whoa, whoa, security, real fast and real loud from
there.
That's
fair. All right, I think that's fair.
I wager everything I own on that. Instead, he says, okay, I couldn't, not that I wouldn't, I couldn't stop her, which is just gross artsy stuff. I hate hearing that. You know what? I don't want to be interrupted while doing the show, but if there's a fire drill and the alarms go off, I'll leave. I wouldn't want to, but it's not that I couldn't. You get what I'm saying? So get your head out of your ass, buddy. And also stop just downplaying, I guess, what rape is. Like, I feel bad when people start dissecting rape and everything becomes rape. And this was kind of done against my will. Was I, you know, I was kind of into it, but once I said I didn't want it, then I did. It's like, was that rape? It's like, well, stop using this one word to express or to define so many things. Like, rape is getting held down and you're getting hammered. That's like hardcore rape. And then, yeah, there's gray rape, I guess, and like date rape and that kind of crap. But please, when you're sitting there not restrained and you're sitting there like a goon and some chick rides you raw dog after whipping your legs a bit and then you blow one in her and she struts off to her cuckold boyfriend in the line, please don't call that rape.
I actually am going to take a side on this, man. You're taking Piers Morgan's side, which puts you in terrible company.
He is a dunce. What did he say?
Oh, he made similar comments of degrading the definition of the word rape.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking diminishing at his tweets, yeah. Claiming to have been quote-unquote raped is truly pathetic and demeans real rape victims. Grow up, you silly little man. God, this is the first time I've agreed with PM. A Hollywood actor sitting with a paper bag over his head who did nothing as he claims a woman raped him has not been raped. Yeah, pretty much 100% with this guy.
I guess my one issue with this is Shia LaBeouf, should know this. I'm sure the woman who did knew this about him, if she insisted on having sex with him, but he is an admitted sex addict.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so for him, I think anyone who would know that and would put him in that kind of situation is absolutely taking advantage of someone who has clear mental health problems.
Dude, I'm a horrible sex addict, but like, you know, in the just look at porn and jack off too much sense.
No, but you were never in Hollywood blockbuster films where, like, women were literally throwing themselves at him left and right, and he would just go to these parties.
I have something to tell you. I'm actually Ralph Macchio. So egg on your face, pal.
But nah, man, I think the fact that he is a sex addict changes the tenor of this story. I really do. I think people who follow his career, I don't even follow his career, but I just remember hearing this. And just thinking it's strange.
Nor does the American public. That's why we're hearing about him getting raped. But continue.
No, it's just if anybody who's a fan of his probably knows that he had to go to like the sex rehab or whatever.
Yeah, here's what I'll say though. Like, addiction in general it's based on you going out and seeking things to not deal with your emotions. Like me, I'm antsy. Like, oh, I don't want to write. I don't want to do this thing. Let me instead look at porn. Let me instead eat. You know what I mean? Like, so to say it's extra bad, like, I don't think it would be horrible if you were with some alcoholic and you held him down and poured booze down his throat in a time when he wasn't, like, weak and wanting booze. He would probably just view that as some sort of assault. It wouldn't be like, oh, the incident touched my lips, I'm a madman again type thing. So if he's a sex addict and he gets raped, I don't know. I don't think that's anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, sex addict, non-sex addict.
No, but to take it to the drug side of things, if you are in the same room as a cokehead and you pull out a little mirror and put a line on her, like, hey, man.
But that's completely. That would have been like if she sat in front of him and was just like, you know, climbed into invisible stirrups, Wonder Woman style, and then just like, you know, flicked her bean for a bit. Until he was like, oh, gotta have it, and hopped on her. Like, that's the analogy you're making. Like, a cokehead pulling out coke in front of a cokehead having coke pulled out in front of him. It isn't like you're holding down the cokehead and just shoving a straw up his nose. Like, here, have all the coke you want.
Nah, but I mean, you're getting back to the basic idea, can a woman even rape a man?
Yeah. I mean, look, the instant butt stuff's involved, yeah.
Like, but no, like,
you're penetrated, yes. But you're saying vaginally, yeah. I mean, like,
when a man is like sexually aroused,
yeah.
Like, do you think rape can still occur in that situation?
Okay, yeah. I'll give any guy, and if they say this isn't rape, they're lying. You get tied up, some 400-pound, just you find her gross pig is on top of you, and she blindfolds you so you can kind of get the visual out of your head, and she just keeps tugging it until, against all will, he's standing at attention, and then she hops on you. That's rape.
That's absurd. Like, you're basically saying it's impossible, is what you're saying.
It's difficult.
I mean, I didn't watch Disclosure, so I'm sure, like, the whole plot of the movie is, like, is it really rape when it's Demi Moore? And she's like, get on the desk and have sex with me, you know? I'm sure that's pretty much the whole movie.
It's like your Demi Moore voice.
Have sex with me, partner.
I saw G.I. Jane.
Yeah.
But nah, it's just, I think because of the fact he's a sex addict, the way he was taken advantage of, I don't think it is as unfair for him to make this claim as he did. He does have mental problems. I'm not going to deny that. And I think a lot of the problem in the way he's looking back at that event is the reality that he eventually did have to explain to his girlfriend what had happened. And, you know, I think the decision not to explain to her what had happened during the private time they had in the installation, yeah, he could claim he's just being a method actor trying to stay in character. But I think there's probably a lot of him that just didn't want to talk about it at that point.
Look, it's the same way, like, rape to me is you couldn't stop it if you tried. It's the same way, like, if a hobo asks for money and you're like, here's a buck. And then you're like, I was robbed. It's like, no, you could have said no and not given him the money. Don't say that was a robbery. You were in control in that. He never said, like, she held him down or she cuffed him. She just pulled out his dick and sat on it.
I don't know. Like, again, it sounds like more went into it before she ended up mounting him, basically. So to me, it sounds like whatever was happening in that time, there was no consent.
Whatever. Nuts to him. That's what I say.
All right.
Nuts to that chap. All right. Well, we can punch out of here. I am not going to play Surf Rider so that this main, you know, this is all free and not copyright violating show.
Why would you say things like that?
I don't know. It came out. I was raped. That's why I said it. Damn rapists. You know what? Yeah, you're right. Let's play it. I'm going to rape this copyright right now. All right, folks. That was Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood, who is still shaking his head at me. Show site's inpapasbasement.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done, as well as my writing, which will be coming back shortly. You want to get a hold of us on Twitter. Howard's handle, he's straightening that up. One of these days it will be presented. I'm just at Papa's Basement. It's very simple. There's also facebook.com/papasbasement, and I'm at Papa's Basement on Instagram. If you liked what you heard, go on the podcast app for any iDevice, and you can do whatever the Droid equivalent of the podcast app is, or use Stitcher on either a Droid or iDevice. Look up Papa's Basement, PAPA*S, basement, to subscribe to the show, review it, all that good stuff. Leave a comment. That would be nice. That helps us. Also look up Papa's Football Podcast. That is the, you guessed it, football show that we do. Last but not least, there is thespookiescomic.com, a comic I write with my buddy. In fact, Jerry, who we talked about at the beginning of the episode. I probably shouldn't have said that. I don't know. He tries to stay anonymous. Well, this episode he didn't, buddy. And for those out there that want to hear the lost episode that I was not allowed to post, if you're still interested in that and you want a direct link, and I know you're a long-time listener and not someone trying to employ the young comedian in question who's afraid that he would deep-six his career talking about his love of the MILF hooker, hit me up. I'll G-drive you the episode.
That's you really profound.
Yeah, pretty
That's
much.
Pretty much it.
Yeah. All right, till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.